All right. Aloha, everyone. I'm Sherry. I am an alcoholic. And before I get into my personal little story, I just want to give a shout out to the service that's being done at this meeting. You guys really have it going on. I mean, this is a spectacular group. And what I can tell you from having gone to a lot of meetings is, when a group is practicing the traditions, it shows. So thank you for showing me without telling me that y'all are practicing the traditions, and it's awesome. It keeps the meeting safe for everyone. And just right on, you guys. So if you're new and you don't know, it takes a lot of people to put on a meeting like this. A lot of people putting in their time and effort, and nobody gets paid. I can tell you that no one gets paid. And if you don't know, I don't represent Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't represent anyone. I come here of my own accord. They're my opinions only, my experience only. Take it or leave it. Take what you can use, And that's how we do this thing here. That's how we do it. So I want to also give a shout out to everyone who's here, especially the new people, because that takes courage. I want you to know I see you. I see you showing up for yourself. And if you came from a background like I did, or just went through the hell on earth of alcoholism, we don't know how to show up for ourselves. Or at least I didn't. I had to learn how to do this. So congratulations on that. I hope you feel welcome at this meeting. A pretty stellar group of people here that are welcoming. And I was taught that my job as a speaker is to welcome you, but also give you a reason to come back to the next meeting. So I want to tell you that I want to share something with you from Hawaii, since I am from Hawaii. And you've probably heard the word aloha. And if you don't know, that is a very old term, and it means the breath of life. And so in the old days, the Hawaiians, when they met each other, they would put their foreheads together with each other, and they would breathe in a breath together. And that was to acknowledge the presence of life in each other. So, I want to just tell you, I acknowledge each and every one of you, even if you're off camera. I hope that someday you might get brave enough to be on camera. But I don't take it personally. I'll just say that. So, and I want to tell you, okay, my sobriety date this time, I've had a couple, okay, but my last sobriety date. And hopefully it's my last, because it's written on my heart now, is December 13th, 1998. I'm trying to fix this screen a little bit. And I have to write it on my heart because, like I said, I've had previous date and lost it. And I'm lucky, very, very lucky that I got to come back. So I don't take sobriety lightly. It's my lifeline. I've been sober over half my life altogether, so there's been a lot of life. There's been a lot of sobriety. There's been a lot of meetings. There's been a lot of cups of coffee. There's been a lot of phone calls. There's been a lot of meeting with women one-on-one. There's been a lot of conventions, there's been a lot of service work, and all that to say, when I got here, I did not look like this. So don't be fooled. I didn't walk in like this. I walked in what the South calls a hot mess. I had destroyed my life. All I wanted to do was die. I really thought I'd tried everything and everything failed. And here's the thing about higher power. If you're meant to be here, it's gonna find a way. It's gonna find a way. And my little weird way of finding out about Alcoholics Anonymous was when I was working in a bar. That's the only place I could work at that time of my life. And this weird little bar that I worked in, if you were sent to court by the court to a meeting and you came back with your chip, the bar would give you a drink. You could trade in your chip literally for a drink. Now, that's all I knew about AA. But somehow I got a message that I don't know anything about this, but I'm out of ideas. I'm too afraid to kill myself. So I'm just going to see what's up with this thing, And in those days, we had phone books and phones attached to the wall and all that kind of stuff. But here's what happened for me. And I hope you get this experience. If you haven't gotten it yet, keep coming back till you get this experience. I got to hear someone else tell my story. The very first woman I talked to told my story. And I know that's not the norm, but it was a miracle, and it's what got me to my first meeting. It was what got me to my first meeting. My like I said, my story's a little wonky in the fact that, I came in completely destroyed. AA worked for me. AA worked fabulously for me. I got my life together. I went back to school. I decided to have a child on my own. I kept going to college and the doors kept opening and I ended up with, a master's degree. I was self-supporting, I was able to pay my own rent, buy my own food, take care of my kid, And what happened is I started going to less and less meetings. I started getting further and further away from AA because here was the thought in my head, you guys don't know how friggin' busy I am. You have no idea. I'm way too busy for this stuff. And isn't my life way more important about what I'm doing than what you guys are doing in the rooms? Okay. I also thought by this time that my spiritual teachings that I was following was more evolved than what you guys were talking about in the rooms. Now, there's a warning about that specifically in the 12 and 12. And if you haven't read that yet, look it up. It's very interesting. So, what happened? I decided I thought I was immune again, and I took a drink very innocently at a wedding reception. And the problem was this. I had built up a beautiful relationship with my higher power. And when I took that first drink, it disappeared completely. I went straight into a black hole, absolutely straight into a black hole. I never anticipated that would happen. I never could have guessed that that would happen. I don't hear it being talked about to this day very often in the rooms, but that's what happened to me. My higher power left, and I didn't know what to do. And I kept drinking for about 6 months, and I was so distraught and so Right after that first drink, I wanted to come back, but I couldn't. I couldn't. So, finally, I got a new sponsor that said to me, "You got to write that date on your heart, and that's what stands between you and death. You got to get that idea in your head. That's what stands between you and death." And so, I did that, and I started coming back. And I will tell you, I was completely embarrassed, completely humiliated. I'd had 11 years. And then here I was back in the rooms raising my hand as a newcomer. I didn't realize that was going to save my life. I thought it was all about ego. Don't you guys know how wonderful I am? And psh, geez, I messed up. I totally messed up, And here's the thing, you guys, if you're new and you may not stick the first time around. You may have in your head, here's the thought that got in my head when I relapsed and when I was new. I only have a couple days. It's not gonna matter if I drink tonight and start all over tomorrow. That was the thought. Okay. The problem with that is that's how we've lost a lot of people. I've gone to a lot of funerals and when my daughter traveled this path with us for a while, she's got her own story. And one of her friends got out of a sober living house and he was going to party for one night before he went to live with his sober mom. He didn't make it. He didn't make it, guys. He was like 22, 23. What a waste, right? So that's the problem, right? We're not guaranteed to come back, so if you're an alcoholic like me, here was the thing I didn't understand. I didn't understand the allergy of the body, okay? I really didn't understand the allergy until years later when I went through a health thing with food allergies. And finally, I got it. If you're allergic to something, your body craves it because it's trying to get back in balance with itself. So that's why if you take that first drink, you're off to the races because you've opened that door. You've opened that door. And I didn't understand that for a long time. I didn't understand the obsession of the mind. How come when I if I take one drink, how many times did I go into work at that bar and say, "Well, I'm not going to drink today. I'll just have a little bit in my coffee to take the edge off, to take the nerves off my hand so I can serve you your drinks." And before I knew it, I was passed out. Had no idea what had happened the night before. All that stuff, right? So you guys know the drill. You guys know what it's like out there. I don't like to spend a lot of time in Drunkalog because honestly, you know what it's like. If you didn't know what it was like, you wouldn't be here. Right? If you had a great time and your life was excellent and you were, a shooting star, you wouldn't probably be here. So it seems like that's what has to happen for most of us to get here, for most of us. So I want to talk about the thing that really tripped me up when I was new. Feelings. Friggin' feelings, okay? Mine were coming out sideways and explosions and bottled up, and I couldn't make sense of them. And I cried through my first maybe 3 months of meetings. Now, I didn't know what that was about. So finally, an old junkie told me the scoop. He told me what we do as abusers is we stuff our feelings. Every drink, every drug, maybe you even do it with food, maybe you do it with something else, but we're stuffing our feelings. We're not feeling them. We stuff for however many years, right? I drank for 18 years before I got in the program. And before that, I found out in recovery I was stuffing my feelings as a child because I wasn't, grown in an atmosphere where that was encouraged, right? So we're stuffing all these feelings. We get sober and they start coming out and we don't understand them. We don't know where they're coming from, right? So what do we do? What's the solution to that, So what I was told and what worked for me is talk to people. Talk. My first sponsor told me, talk to someone till their eyes glaze over and then go to the next person. Now that this is, of course, in-person meetings, but you get the point, right? Talking and writing. Write. It doesn't have to make sense. No one else is going to read it but you. It doesn't matter if you tear up the paper because you're so pissed off that you're, scribbling like this. It doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be prose. The only object is to get those feelings out. To get them out, And then I also was taught, and still to this day, find that safe person. Find that safe person that you can say anything to, And sometimes some people call them sponsors, sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're mentors, sometimes they're just that person that if you can't find anybody to talk to, you can call their answering machine and cuss the paint off the walls. That's what one of my sponsors calls it. Cuss the paint off the walls, and then afterwards you're going to feel so much better, right? Okay, here's what else I want to talk to you guys about. Fun. Have some friggin' fun in sobriety. If you're not having any fun, why stay sober? Why go back to another meeting if you're just like, oh my God, I have to be here again, blah, 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 blah. I can't do, because here's what happened is, I thought when I came in, I thought I was having fun out there. Don't ask me how. It's crazy thinking, to think that, getting obliterated, getting sick, throwing up, getting stopped by the police all the time, waking up with people I didn't know. Not being able to pay my rent, all that stuff, for some reason, I thought that was fun. What that's called, folks, if you haven't heard it already, it's called denial. That was my denial. I didn't want to face it. I was friggin' scared to change, And so here I am, and I'm running out of time really quickly here. Higher power, please don't be afraid of what other people call theirs. Don't let anyone read the big book for you. Do your own friggin' reading, okay? And have your own higher power. And that's how you stay sober in this program, And it really makes it a lot easier and a lot more fun to do it with other people. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do anything. So I thank you. I think I'm out of time, right? I don't know who the timer is.
Yeah, you have about 10 seconds left, but keep on going, sweetheart.
All right, so here's what I want to tell you. 10 seconds. I can see the future. Okay, if you stay sober and give yourself a year, maybe write yourself a letter. That's what we used to do in the old days. We wrote ourselves a letter, we sealed it up, and we read it in a year. And I will predict for you that you're going to be in a totally different place. Happier with yourself, peace with the world, maybe. You know, having fun, maybe even getting successful, maybe even having a little bit of money, you know, who knows? But it's gonna be different. So I encourage you to stay, stay, stay. And thank you so much for inviting me to your awesome meeting.